Morning. I'd like to call the meeting of the Safety and Security Committee. We have a single item on the agenda. First, we should approve that agenda.
Well, I'll turn that on. Is there any comment on that agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on that basis. I also would like a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of February 14th, 2013. And a second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. The item for discussion this morning is a follow-up on our issues of communication to the customer in the case of emergencies. We will have a presentation by Lynn Bowerstock on what staff has been doing to improve our ability to have that communication. And we'd like to divide the time basically equally between the presentation and our ability to discuss that presentation. We've also talked in the last day or so about an event that occurred in the last few days, the yard derailment. We understand the review of that is not complete enough to make any comment, so we'd like to just hold that for future meeting. And in the course of the discussion, I hope you can also touch on the issue of the intercoms in the cars and how those are part of our ability to communicate with the customers and what we're doing there. And I will turn it over to Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Good morning. Related to the subject of safety and security today, this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Many of us are wearing teal wristbands, and I think our general manager and DGMO are modeling the teal lapel pin today, and that's in support of sexual assault awareness and sexual harassment prevention here on the system. Last night, our team, led by our project manager, Caroline Lucas, was at an Anacostia station handing these out with customer information. And I'd just like to remind everybody that Metro does have a program in place. If you are a victim of sexual assault or harassment on the system, we encourage you to report that to any Metro employee who knows what to do. You may also call Metro Transit Police at 962-2121. Or go on WMATA.com to report the incident. We take this matter very seriously, and we appreciate the board's continued leadership and support on this issue. There are two other paths that we want to talk about today related to making our customers safer and more secure on the system. The first is reducing some of the common injuries that we see happening, and the second is, as the chairman said, better emergency preparedness. So just on the first topic, to give a little perspective, our daily ridership on buses and trains of about 1.2 million is pretty substantial. Last year, in all of 2012, we had 582 customer injuries on the system, and after 3 years of consecutive injury reductions among our customers this year, the general manager and the chief safety officer have a target of another reduction of 5%, about 29 fewer injuries. And so this initial campaign is really focused on supporting that effort. There are many other elements to it, but this is the communications component. The most common injuries on our system today are slips, trips, and falls. There are, as you know, many different behaviors that lead to this. If you've been out on the system at all this week, you see how many visitors we have, how many more strollers there are than you typically see on our system during the Cherry Blossom Festival. And I witness it every day as I ride the Red Line and commute to work. People running, people holding doors, people pushing babies in strollers on escalators, patrons who slip while doing those exercises. And what we want people to know is that those unsafe behaviors really do put them at risk. And we want to try to reduce injury by changing that behavior. So we, at the end of last year, undertook some customer focus groups. In the last week in November, to be specific, we had six groups, which were representative of our riders in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. I will tell you that from those focus group discussions, and we talked about very extreme unsafe behavior, as well as this routine unsafe behavior like running, and our customers said that they really see they have a sense that they are very personally responsible for their own safety on the system. And they think that WMATA's role is to really remind them and of unsafe behaviors and the consequences of those behaviors. And they told us this. When we commute every day, we're in a zone. We do the same thing repeatedly every day from the minute we step in the system and we go. And we sort of have blinders on. And so if you could help us, you know, get out of that zone a little bit and refresh and remind us of what we need to be aware of, that's the way in which you could communicate with us and be helpful. So with that in mind, we tested a couple of different communications campaigns with them, five in total, both domestic and international campaigns on safety and courtesy, because these two things get interconnected on most transit systems. Courtesy being loud cell phone conversations, litter, taking up more than one seat for oneself and so forth. And of course, litter can be a trip hazard, so there is a connection. And what we learned is that most of the safety campaigns that we showed them, our riders did not find to be particularly compelling. They said that the tone was too scolding in some instances. In other instances, they found them to be overly shocking or gruesome. And essentially, the ones that they really liked, and you see them here, the donkey is a French campaign. It's shown on the Paris Metro. There are other animals. This is a courtesy campaign, and I don't speak French, but the essence of the campaign is don't let your behavior look like this. Don't be a donkey, okay? This was very popular with the French, and our riders liked it too. They said they liked it because it's very graphic. It's not scolding. And I actually know what this means without having to read a lot of words. In the same way, they really like this campaign in the Netherlands. This is a wrap on the back of a bus that shows it being treated like a garbage truck. And this was an anti-litter campaign. And again, our riders liked it. And they said, you don't need any words to know what this is trying to tell me. Don't litter the bus. And so make it graphic. Help us with graphics, with pictures, with things that are impactful that remind us of the consequences of our behavior. And so those were our takeaways, and I'd like to recognize, actually, Dr. Allison Simon is here, the head of research, who makes sure that we keep the voice of the customer front and center in all of our work. Allison, just stand, please. And also Ms. Jo Green, who's been with us now for 3 months, who's the new director of marketing and has been the project manager on this, and Jo joins us from MTA Baltimore. And so with these comments in mind, and this team has put together a campaign called Ride Safe. It will launch this spring on our system. The campaign materials are intended to be thought-provoking, graphic, and you will see, and you can see in the board behind you too, the colors are familiar. They suggest the customary color for warning. It's that vibrant yellow, almost school bus yellow color. And you see the black stripes, which you see customarily on warning signs. So that really does translate in terms of giving the rider a cautionary signal. The graphics, the visuals, they actually show you the unsafe behavior that we'd like you to avoid. It reminds you not to run, not to hold a door open, not to put your arm and your leg in the door. And so even if you weren't quick enough to read, you would get some message from that graphic. And then, of course, the text does really deliver the message very directly, and it's very, very brief. It doesn't require a lot of reading in order to understand the message. We will have more of these concepts as it goes on. Obviously, what you see here is about standing too close to the edge, running in front of a bus. The other ones you will see are about holding on when you're standing on either a train or a bus. You'll see some about stroller behavior because we know that's also important. And as we go on with the campaign, we'll continue to refresh these with the list of behaviors that we want people to pay attention to. We've already started to test the campaign. We were at the NBC for Health and Fitness Expo, which attracted tens of thousands of people to the convention center. Our own general manager was there, and with the team who were handing out materials, the feedback that we received was very, very positive. And this slide talks about the number of signs and communications messages you'll see out on the system. We're also working on radio spots, and we'll follow up with the board on those. There'll be three different versions. You'll hear them not only on area radio stations, but the way a lot of people get their music these days is online through musical programs and channels like Pandora, and they listen on their earphones, and you see them on the system listening on their iPhones. And so, excuse me, we'll be buying time there as well to try to raise awareness. That'll go on through the summer, and then this fall we'll conduct another survey among our customers to gauge how awareness has increased and to see ultimately what we need to do in order to meet the injury reduction target, which is the most important measure of our success. We are also undertaking improvements in emergency preparedness communications, and I wanted to just spend another couple of minutes talking about that before I turn it back over to the chair. as you know, subsequent to the Green Line incident in January, we began reviewing a number of our protocols and trainings associated with onboard response in emergencies, and that work continues internally. And at the same time, my colleague Christian Kent has been working with the Accessibility Advisory Committee on this topic and getting information and feedback from them on how we prepare to assist customers with disabilities and emergencies. And as recently as this week, had a demonstration, and we're working with them. On a third piece of that is the Riders Advisory Council has very graciously agreed to assist us in developing outreach materials. I was with the full group last week. They met last night, I think, their safety subcommittee. And essentially, we are focused together on developing a communication to customers in advance of any emergency. So that may be a brochure, it may be a wallet card, it may be a video, it may be all three, but it's what you need to know before you find yourself in an emergency, and we have the Riders Advisory Council helping to develop that. And then ultimately, we're working with Rob Troop and with Chief Doherty and Rob's team on onboard signage, and that's what I want to talk about next. In this slide, you'll see this is the most prominent instructional signage on a rail car that talks about what to do in the event of an emergency. And I would call this sign busy. It's retained a map that's hard to read. It has a lot of diagrams that are difficult to understand. And there are many, many words on here. And Ms. Porter suggested that we look at research about how people behave during emergencies, and we've started to do that. And the one thing that I'm absolutely certain about is that they don't read very much in an emergency. So we're not sure, while this is an important piece, and it probably follows the industry model of, you know, in an airplane you have a seat back piece, and in an Amtrak train you have a seat back piece with instruction cards, and this was probably intended to be comprehensive in that same way, not sure that it's highly effective. So we are going to be working with our customers and with our advisory groups to be redesigning this and replacing it with a more effective piece that the experts say gives people the information they need to be able to evacuate. In the meantime, we have one new sign that we do want to put in every rail car. We're going to use glow-in-the-dark material so that in the unlikely event that only emergency lighting is available, this is readable. As you can see, it has many fewer words. And it is the first and only sign on our rail cars that actually says very clearly, stay on the train unless directed otherwise. And as you know, the board pointed out to us that the self-evacuation that came with the Green Line and with incidents last summer were deeply troubling. And so we thought it was important to make this message very plain and very clear to our customers. And so this sign will be installed this spring while we continue to work to develop the other emergency signage. So those are the next steps, and I want to end at this time and yield the balance of the time to the committee for discussion and certainly take any questions about the intercoms and other things.
Questions for Lynn?
Thanks, Lynn. Very good presentation, particularly the last page. I think Richard sent something out in the multiple emails we got, so we got a heads up on it. I just have one suggestion. I think under emergency is pretty good. I was really concerned about the self-evacuation issue, so can we make stay on the train bigger?
We can.
Just, I mean, that was the whole point of the discussion, was people getting off because somebody was the Pied Piper, and that we want them to stay on the train. That's all.
Thank you.
I also want to compliment you on this campaign. I think this is exactly the right direction to be heading, and I really appreciate the work that you've done. I also like your suggestion for the new signage. I guess the only thing that I would suggest is you're thinking about a more permanent signage. Tom Downs had suggested right after the self-evacuation thing that we should be much more explicit in our emergency signage about what happens to people who get off the train if they're not careful. And I went and read the sign. I mean, you sit there looking at it, but you never read it. I sat and I actually read through the sign, and there is nowhere that I could determine in this sign that it says, be careful this, be careful that. But the big warning is, if you get off the train without authorization, you will be subject to criminal prosecution. That is the big warning. So it makes it sound like it's some rule, you know. And if you are a young person who thinks rules are terrible and you're on a hot train, criminal prosecution, I mean, we're almost making it sound like it's something that would be a really good thing to do, but we don't want you to do it. And so I think focusing more on the dangers of it, as you're doing here, would be good for the more permanent sign. I think you're heading in the right direction. Forget the criminal prosecution and use words like electrocution, which is, I think, what Mr. Downs was suggesting. Yeah, so that we are emphasizing the danger and not that this is something naughty that we don't want you to do, which is sort of the tone that it has now. But I very much, the other suggestion I was going to make again, and I think I mentioned this before, working with the people who are in the CERT program, maybe reaching out to I know in Montgomery County there's a very extensive CERT program. And these are folks, I think they already get some training in terms of train evacuations. But, you know, as part of the protocol, reaching out to them and coordinating with the kinds, because you've got people who might already be a resource who could be helpful in those kinds of situations. So thank you very much for the direction you're going.
Thank you.
I was just going to say something simple, like get off the train and you might get killed. I think that might be pretty clear. Let's be very direct.
The comment on the existing too wordy and extensive sign that's there, I do think we need to retain in some fashion the instructions on how to open the door if you reach the point where you do have to open the door. It doesn't have to be the first thing they see, but it's I think we still have to have, just as on Amtrak you have the sign on each window, how to take out the window.
In the Executive Committee's recent meeting with the Access Committee, they volunteered that they would be more than anxious to work with the staff about developing some protocols for access passengers who are mainstreaming on the system about the role that they should play in an emergency, self-identification through authority of having a handicap, blindness, mobility, and stress, all kinds of stuff that they should be able to identify to both the conductor and to first responders. Some way of having the evacuation procedures have some checklist for both train operators and first responders about the protocols for checking for access passengers on a train. And I think they appreciated this effort immensely, but wanted to be part of the process going forward.
You want to talk about hat noise a couple of days?
Right. So, Mr. Downs, to that point, Christian Kent has been working with the accessibility group on exactly that. And they have been going through the protocols that we have so that the Office of Emergency Management can first determine whether or not we have in place what's required and then what supplemental protocols might be required. And so over the last couple of days, they've been actually demonstrating equipment, special equipment that we have to help people with disabilities in an emergency. And I haven't seen the report from that, but I understand the feedback was very, very constructive and very helpful. So that is underway. Right, and beyond pamphlets, and they've talked to us already about doing things in Braille and video with closed caption and those kinds of things. Absolutely.
Other questions?
Yes. Yeah. Will the sign replace the current signage during the interim while these are being put together?
No, sir. We believe that the instruction of how to evacuate a train in the event of an emergency is safety critical and needs to remain on the rail cars. So this will be an addition to until we've redesigned that other sign. And then there'll be a new sign there. So this is an added, not an instead of.
Okay. And also, will there be different languages used on these signs?
That's a very good question. Our initial thought was to get this done in English because we wanted to have something on the train that said stay on board. When we redesign that bigger sign, we do intend to have at least in Spanish a translated version. The challenge for us is that we live in such a diverse region that there are many languages that would need to be represented to reach all of our customers. And so our thought was to do that advanced piece, whether the brochure and the video, that we'd make that available in multiple languages to make sure that that was something that would reach all of our riders. Literally, I believe, and if Jim Nguyen is here, he can tell me if this is correct, but in our region, there are 26 different languages spoken among our ridership. So,
Once we get the whole system wired, couldn't you put one of those little logos on the sign that somebody could scan with their cell phone and it could give them the directions in another language?
A QR code?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we could do that.
One of the things that I've noticed is it seems like many of the visitors I see on the train have cell phones. I mean, they have smartphones. They can do that. I have not done a survey, but it seems like that might be a way to do it.
It's an interesting suggestion. We'll pursue that.
In the case of disabled customers who may need rescue, the ability to communicate with the conductor, either them or someone else on the train, is critical, but I think it's important for others as well. Can you comment on the system and how that is working?
I'm sorry, Mr. Dunn, on the intercom system?
The intercom system.
So let me just talk about the signage, and then I'll turn it over to Rob to talk about the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
So there's been some thought. Mr. Troop and Mr. Ballard have recommended that we look at the signage that instructs you how to operate the intercom system. We have gotten customer comments that say that it's not as clear as it might be. When you push that sign, it says the sign says push to talk, and there is a red button. A lot of our customers understand that to mean hold the button, and that's not the right instruction. So that actually prevents the operator from being able to communicate with the customer. And so push to talk is probably not the clearest way to communicate that. And what we've talked to Mr. Troop and Mr. Ballard about is to test some other instructions, because we don't want to assume, again, that that's, you know, going to be interpreted correctly by the rider. So we'll test some of those with our customers and then very likely replace those instructional signs.
From the technical standpoint in regards to the intercom system and how it works, we do have some compatibility issues between the 6K and the 1K that deals with attenuation, how the cars talk to each other.
Because we have the mixed consoles.
That's correct, yeah, because we have and in addition to that, we also have the issue between the 6K and the 4K as well. So we do have engineering modifications in for both, where you're in the process of testing those. It deals with, again, with software so that we can do automation automatic attenuation and also some hardware so that we can get those in there. So that's expected. The fix is expected to be approved. We don't foresee any issues with it, but expect to be around the June time frame, at which point we'll start implementing it through those cars. So those are because of the mixed consists, those are the two issues that we have there.
And we do include, as part of the safety check before a train goes out, is it working or not?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, yes.
Other questions? Hearing none, we will.
Yes. I wanted to. Recognize some efforts. I came out of the house last week and found this on my windshield. And it says, don't throw rocks. It's dangerous. It's a law throwing rocks across the cars, not just trains, it's dangerous times. It's a joint effort between the Metropolitan Transit Police and MPD. And they're going on cars all over the district with an officer call card as well. And I wanted to thank both Chief Taborn and Chief Pavlik for the effort of working cooperatively with MPD on this effort, this part of our safety as well. And I'll pass it around.
Great.
If you didn't get one in your car.
For future agendas, we'll continue the rotation of safety review next month. Security report with Chief Pavlik, safety report the following month, and we'll hear from the talk in July. And at some point before the year is out, we hope to hear about train control systems and the review that has been going on there. But I know that will take time to get ready. If no other questions, call the meeting adjourned. On time. Exactly.
On time.